Homodias, A Brief History of Tomorrow. This is page 226. The Ark Syndrome. Yet, can the economy actually keep growing forever? Won't it eventually run out of resources and grind to a halt? In order to ensure perpetual growth, we must somehow discover an inexhaustible store of resources. One solution is to explore and conquer new lands and territories. For centuries, the growth of the European economy and expansion of the capitalist system indeed relied heavily on overseas imperial conquests. However, there are only so many islands and continents on Earth. Some entrepreneurs hope eventually to explore and conquer new planets and even galaxies, but in the meantime, the modern economy has had to find a better method of expanding. Science has provided modernity with an alternative. The fox economy cannot grow because foxes do not know how to produce more rabbits. The rabbit economy stagnates because rabbits cannot make the grass grow faster. But the human economy can grow because humans can discover new materials and sources of energy. The traditional view of the world as a pie of a fixed size presupposes there are only two kinds of resources in the world: raw materials and energy. But in truth, there are three kinds of resources: raw materials, energy, and knowledge. Raw materials and energy are exhaustible. The more you use, the less you have. Knowledge, in contrast, is a growing resource. The more you use, the more you have. Indeed, when you increase your stock of knowledge, it can give you more raw materials and energy as well. If I invest $100 million searching for oil in Alaska and I find it, then I now have more oil, but my grandchildren will have less of it. In contrast, if I invest $100 million researching solar energy and I find a new and more efficient way of harnessing it, then both I and my grandchildren will have more energy. For thousands of years, the scientific road to growth was blocked because people believed the holy scriptures and ancient traditions already contained all the important knowledge the world had to offer. A corporation that believed all the oil fields in the world had already been discovered would not waste time and money searching for oil. Similarly, a human culture that believed it already knew everything worth knowing would not bother searching for new knowledge. This was the position of most pre-modern human civilizations. However, the scientific revolution freed humankind from this conviction. The greatest scientific discovery was the discovery of ignorance. Once humans realized how little they knew about the world, they suddenly had a very good reason to seek new knowledge, which opened up the scientific road to progress. With each passing generation, science helped discover fresh sources of energy, new kinds of raw material, better machinery, and novel production methods. Consequently, in 2016, humankind commands far more energy and raw materials than ever before, and production skyrockets. Inventions such as the steam engine, the internal combustion engine, and the computer have created whole new industries from scratch. As we look 20 years to the future, we confidently expect to produce and consume far more in 2036 than we do today. We trust nanotechnology, genetic engineering, and artificial intelligence to revolutionize production yet again and to open whole new sections in our ever-expanding supermarkets. We therefore have a good chance of overcoming the problem of resource scarcity. The real nemesis of the modern economy is ecological collapse. Both scientific progress and economic growth take place within a brittle biosphere, and as they gather steam, so the shock waves destabilize the ecology. In order to provide every person in the world with the same standard of living as affluent Americans, we would need a few more planets, but we only have this one. If progress and growth do end up destroying the ecosystem, the cost will be dear not merely to vampires, foxes, and rabbits, but also to sapiens. An ecological meltdown will cause economic ruin, political turmoil, a fall in human standards of living, and it might threaten the very existence of human civilization. We could lessen the danger by slowing down the pace of progress and growth. If this year investors expect to get a 6% return on their portfolios, in 10 years they will be satisfied with a 3% return, in 20 years only 1%, and in 30 years the economy will stop growing and will be happy with what we've already got. Yet, the creed of growth firmly objects to such a heretical idea. Instead, it suggests we should run even faster. If our discoveries destabilize the ecosystem and threaten humanity, then we should discover something to protect ourselves. If the ozone layer dwindles and exposes us to skin cancer, we should invent better sunscreen and better cancer treatments, thereby also promoting the growth of new sunscreen factories and cancer centers. If all the new industries pollute the atmosphere and the oceans, causing global warming and mass extinctions, then we should build for ourselves virtual worlds and high-tech sanctuaries that will provide us with all the good things in life, even if the planet is as hot, dreary, and polluted as hell. Beijing has already become so polluted that people avoid the outdoors, and wealthy Chinese pay thousands of dollars for indoor air purifying systems. The super rich build protective contraptions even over their yards. In 2013, the International School of Beijing, which caters for the children of foreign diplomats and upper-class Chinese, went a step further and constructed a giant $5 million dome over its six tennis courts and its playing fields. Other schools are following suit, and the Chinese air purification market is booming. Of course, most Beijing residents cannot afford such luxuries in their homes, nor can they afford to send their kids to the international school. Humankind finds itself locked into a double race. On the one hand, we feel compelled to speed up the pace of scientific progress and economic growth. 1 billion Chinese and 1 billion Indians want to live like middle-class Americans, and they see no reason why they should put their dreams on hold when Americans are unwilling to give up their SUVs and shopping malls. On the other hand, we must stay at least one step ahead of ecological Armageddon. Managing this double race becomes more difficult by the year, because every stride that brings the Delhi slum dwellers closer to the American dream also brings the planet closer to the brink. The good news is that for hundreds of years, humankind has enjoyed a growing economy without falling prey to ecological meltdown. Many other species have perished in the process, and humans too have faced a number of economic crises and ecological disasters, but so far we have always managed to pull through. Yet future success is not guaranteed by some law of nature. Who knows if science will always be able to simultaneously save the economy from freezing and the ecology from boiling. And since the pace just keeps accelerating, the margins for error keep narrowing. If previously it was enough to invent something amazing once a century, today we need to come up with a miracle every 2 years. We should also be concerned that an ecological apocalypse might have different consequences for different human castes. There is no justice in history. When disaster strikes, the poor almost always suffer far more than the rich, even if the rich caused the tragedy in the first place. Global warming is already affecting the lives of poor people in arid African countries more than the lives of affluent Westerners. Paradoxically, the very power of science may increase the danger because it makes the rich complacent. Consider greenhouse gas emissions. Most scholars and an increasing number of politicians recognize the reality of global warming and the magnitude of the danger. Yet, this recognition has so far failed to change our actual behavior. We talk a lot about global warming, but in practice, humankind is unwilling to make serious economic, social, or political sacrifices to stop the catastrophe. Between 2000 and 2010, emissions did not decrease at all. On the contrary, they increased at an annual rate of 2.2% compared with an annual increase rate of 1.3% between 1970 and 2000. The 97 Kyoto Protocol on reduction of greenhouse gas emissions aimed merely to slow down global warming rather than stop it. Yet the world's number one polluter, the United States, refused to ratify it and has made no attempt to significantly reduce its emissions for fear of slowing down its economic growth. In December 2015, more ambitious targets were set in the Paris Agreement, which calls for limiting average temperature increase to 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels. But many of the painful steps necessary to reach this aim have conveniently been postponed to after 2030, or even to the second half of the 21st century, effectively passing the hot potato to the next generation. Current administrations would be able to reap immediate political benefits from looking green, while the heavy political price of reducing emissions and slowing growth is bequeathed to future administrations. Even so, at the time of writing, this is in January 2016, it is far from certain that the USA and other leading polluters will ratify the Paris Agreement. As a side note, Trump actually got out of the Paris Agreement. Too many politicians and voters believe that as long as the economy grows, scientists and engineers could always save us from doomsday. When it comes to climate change, many growth true believers do not just hope for miracles, they take it for granted that the miracles will actually happen. How rational is it to risk the future of humankind on the assumption that future scientists will make some unknown discoveries? Most of the presidents, ministers, and CEOs who run the world are very rational people. Why are they willing to take such a gamble? Maybe because they don't think they are gambling on their own personal future. Even if bad comes to worse and science cannot hold off the deluge, engineers could still build a high-tech Noah's Ark for the upper caste while leaving billions of others to drown. The belief in this high-tech ark is currently one of the biggest threats to the future of humankind and of the entire ecosystem. People who believe in the high-tech ark should not be put in charge of the global ecology, for the same reason that people who believe in a heavenly afterlife should not be given nuclear weapons. And what about the poor? Why are they not protesting? If and when the deluge comes, they will bear the full cost of it. However, they will also be the first to bear the cost of economic stagnation. In a capitalist world, the lives of the poor improve only when the economy grows. Hence, they are unlikely to support any steps to reduce future ecological threats that are based on slowing down present-day economic growth. Protecting the environment is a very nice idea, but those who cannot pay their rent are worried about their overdraft far more than about melting ice caps.